Good morning.
I had the opportunity this week to go to the Shepherd Center. Carol Campbell extended the invitation and to lead their devotional, their inspirational speech. I don't know how I did. I didn't see anybody like, we didn't start passing collection plates or anything, so I thought, maybe I didn't do so good. But it was great, and I was telling just a little bit about College Place, and I said one of the things about College Place is that we have children. And they sometimes, you never know what they're going to do. And I'm glad that the congregation really appreciates our kids. And they all kind of laughed. But that is wonderful. And I hope you do fill the gift of the children within our congregation and to our congregation. And part of that, and also see the responsibility of what it takes to help raise them and to nurture their faith and to help them grow and to share that love of God that you've received with them as they grow up. It's always an important thing. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. It's a day in the church calendar. It's the main revelation. It concludes the season of Epiphany. We call the Epiphany is that time when we realize who Jesus was for the whole world, not just for some people. And so this is the main revelation of who Jesus is. As we begin and just as we move into the season of Lent on Wednesday. Just want to ask a question. I've been thinking about this, and I really want to do something good for someone and kind and generous. And so I was wondering who might like a new car. I played the Georgia Lottery while I was gone, and I thought I would share with it. Who might want a convertible? Anybody? Anybody take a convertible from me? I mean, it has tires and wheels. Yeah, I'm giving away the MG. No. Anybody? Nobody? Nobody wants a car? Seriously? Linda'll take it? Okay, can you show behind door number one, Linda's new car? It does have tires and it does have a motor. It's there. Are you excited now? I can have it back. Thanks. You'll sell it for junk. Wow, that's sweet. Yeah. It's all there. I mean, it's all there. Yeah, roadworthy. Not exactly. Oh, it'll make it to Lexington and back. You just don't appreciate my gift. Don't realize what it is. Yeah, it does look a little rough. Have you ever noticed that, how the people do that? They consider to taking a car like this and making something really good out of it. I thought about it, too. The house that was on the corner that we all experienced the fire, you remember how that looked? Anybody want that? You know, Rick and Susan saw something in there that nobody else seemed to be able to see. And it's that beautiful house that's there on the corner now. They saw something in it somehow, some way. Today is the final day of Epiphany. It's the day before we begin Ash Wednesday, the season of Lent, this week. Peter, James, and John and Jesus go up onto the top of a mountain. Mark is amazing gospel. I always love it. If you've never read through a gospel from start to finish, go with Mark. One, it's the shortest gospel. You won't give out before you realize part of the beauty and the mystery and the magic of it. But it also is very succinct in its story. What Matthew actually takes labor to divide to show the divinity of Christ, who Jesus is, throughout his whole gospel, Mark finally just puts it all together for us in this section from Mark 9. This is who Jesus is. Part of these chapters 8 and 10 that are bookend, it's kind of interesting, is by the healing of a blind man and a healing of a blind man. Part of this is a revelation and being able to see who Jesus is for the people, for the disciples, and for the world. Some scholars, those who've really pushed it and really studied this story about Jesus and Peter, James, and John up on the mountaintop with Elijah and Moses as actually a resurrection story. That the scholars suggest maybe perhaps that this technically is the resurrection story that's found in the book of Mark. Mark put it into the middle so that we would be sure to know what was going on as we begin to move into these horrible events of Holy Week that leads up to Jesus' death and crucifixion and burial. You know, it's an editor. I mean, and they were able to move these stories as they wanted to and where they placed them, where they would help tell their story. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all talk about the same Jesus, don't they? Do any of them tell the story the same way? No. My faith does not look like your faith. My story of the interaction with Jesus is not the same as yours. None of us are the same. One of the great and wonderful things about God is that God's not some cookie cutter or some puppeteer that we're told what to do and how to do it. We have this gift of free will that allows our lives to be lived. And part of what we are to do as we go on living is to reveal what God has revealed and given to us and to place in our lives. Part of this revelation of who God is in and through us. Peter, James, and John go with Jesus up to the mountain, and suddenly, in a way that is reminiscent of Moses' conversations with God on Mount Sinai, or we hear the story of Elisha and Elisha, as Timothy read so well. That's why I was glad you were reading that. I never can figure out which one's next. These stories of the revelation and the glory of God's presence with these people. This story is reminiscent of that. It also connects back to Jesus' baptism when the heavens are split open and the dove descends, and then Jesus is confirmed as part of God's family, God's Son, with whom he is well pleased. They're on the mountaintop. They've gone as just a small group up, and there's this full revelation of who Jesus is. Jesus fully takes his place among Elijah and Moses, the great prophets of the Jewish faith, as one of those great prophets, connected to this ancient faith that they had followed long, many years. Finally, there was a revelation of who Jesus was, that even Peter, James, and John couldn't deny. Their eyes were fully open, and they saw with magnitude and of Jesus present with them. But sometimes it takes some vision to understand what things possibly could be. I was thinking about this too. It connected to carving stones and to being revealed of what's inside of it. I mean, Jesus, to the disciples, they slept together, they ate together, they walked together. They would have thought that Jesus was just a person, just like them, except somehow some teacher. They had not yet fully grasped who it was. This is the story that helps to reveal that for Mark. I got to thinking about that with carving of the stone. I've heard it somewhere and finally found it from Michelangelo, that every block of stone has a statue inside of it, and it is the task of the sculptor to discover it. Every block of stone has a statue inside of it, and it is the task of the sculptor to discover it. I think I have a video. Do we? Don't start it yet. Look at there. Have any of you seen the statue of David from Leonardo da Vinci and either in the book or in Florence? It's pretty amazing. This is David's foot. And it's about a minute and a half, so I want you to just kind of watch and see this as it comes. That's kind of neat, right? You have seen that? In a minute and a half video, you can see how a foot is made with That was David's foot from the statue. I thought it was pretty cool. There's some of those things that went on for like 30 minutes or an hour and a half as they time elapsed, a real statue with a stone carver and a chisel as they chipped away at it to reveal. But anyway, so the music's a little, it's an Italian company that makes this kind of art stuff, but you know, that's why the music's a little pepped up for us. But but every block of stone has a statue in it, inside it, and it's the task of the sculptor to discover it. Michelangelo also said that carving is actually easy. Just go down to the skin and stop. And you could see that in that video. I mean, the laser computer-driven grinder was able to just go to the foot and stop. Now, somebody's comment about the video was that it's not as good as the original. I don't know how you could tell. Looked pretty good. But partly I think that's true. It isn't quite the same as the original. Carving is easy. You just have to go down to the skin and stop. And every block of stone has a statue inside of it. It's the task of the sculptor to discover it. I mean, that's really what the disciples were doing on their journey. Discovering who Jesus was, discovering how this is, how he transforms their lives. To help them see not only God in the world, but God in them. To help God be revealed in a way that only God can do. I mean, it's like we have all these great machines that could possibly do this, but that's not the same thing as the real thing. Michelangelo also said, everything else, perception resembles more than anything else that celestial source from which we all are come. From the celestial source from which we all are come. Grow out and see, and it's only through God's transformation and God's work in and through us that reveals God's work into Christ, who revealed him first to the disciples, and then as God's revelation continues to reveal us and who we are to the world around us, took place and it takes place. As we begin to enter into this season of repentance and remembrance, that it's helpful for us in this story of Mark to hear the promise, the gift of God to the world, who Jesus is for the disciples and for us, to have that reminder. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like my life looks more like the old car. Full apart. But see, there's part of us that need to hear that Spirit living within and through us that might be able to see the possibility of what that old car could be. Now, Linda, you want it back now? You'll take it back? 52 MG. The revelation of God's goodness being revealed to the whole world sometimes takes some vision, it takes understanding, and it takes God's grace working in and through us to reveal that which is in us, the beauty of God's creation for the whole world. All glory, honor, and power be to the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Amen.